Hello, all, and welcome to the Fantasy and Sci-Fi Fanatics podcast. I'm your host, Dan Kubel. Today, I have me a very special guest, Jason J. Willis. Jason, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
Thank you so much for hopping on and letting us, discuss your books, your writing, and your products. And I'm excited to get going and, kind of pick your writer brain today. So thank you so much for coming on today.
Sounds good.
All right, let's do this thing. So we'll start with that first question there, Jason. What has your writing journey been like up until this point?
Well, started when I was younger. I was always interested in reading. I always liked to read, but started writing I think 16, 17, got really excited about it, wrote a couple of novels that are now trunk novels, and then I hit a point at about 20, 21. I had some kids. I had my son at that point, and I remember hearing another writer talk about how they really put everything into their writing and really built their career, and it really damaged their relationship with their spouse and their kid, and they wish that they had prioritized that. And I really took that to heart, and I thought to myself, I love to read, I love to write, I can kind of work on this, I can do it in the background, and then once my kids are, I can keep trying as a side thing, but make sure my focus is my family. And then after that, I can then put more time into to writing. And that's really the route that I went, and I don't regret it. Though I can understand when people push the other direction too. But I just thought that was really great advice. And so I decided to go that route. So here I am many years later. I did still get to play with being a writer and make books and stuff. So it works great for both.
Yeah, I totally get that. I all the time, like I love my job, first of all. I'm at a new school in the last year. Love my job. Actually, in a day, getting to do everything I want to do and more. Learn a lot, and yeah, I'm like the same way. Like I'm trying so hard to finish my fifth draft, but part of it's like I'm not feeling the eye of the tiger as much, and having to change my life with writing. I'm like trying to more enjoy the craft, and that's where I've been a little bit more patient, I guess. But people ask me like, "Where's this? Where's this? You have this idea. You almost have this book done." And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm like, I really enjoy being a dad." Like if it comes down to spending an hour with my kid or an hour writing, I'll, find those 15 minutes or those writing sprints in between, and I always think like he's only going to be little for so long, but I can write the rest of my life. So I definitely understand that feeling for sure. So I do think that's really great writing advice. So that's awesome. But yeah, I
Are
could
you
definitely
still,
concur with that.
sorry, are you still seeing me on my screen? It just says Zoom post attendee.
Oh, that's weird. No, we're still good to go on my end.
Okay.
That's very interesting. Thanks for checking, though. Can you hear and see me at all or no?
I cannot. I can, yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
I don't necessarily, oh, there we go. It flip-flopped what screen was in front for whatever reason.
That's so interesting. One more reason why I'm switching off of Zoom, everyone, this week. So you're my last one on Zoom, and I'm like, oh, I'm really excited about that, actually. I have to learn the new platform thing. I think we're doing Riverside or whatever. So my
Have
tech
fun.
guy said, but yeah, I'm like, kind of excited not to have to deal with the Zoom issues anymore. So, some of our longtime fans are probably like, yeah, definitely understand that. But I think that's great writing advice, though, Jason. I think it really comes down to, what do you really want, right? Like ultimately. And I was actually, it's funny that you mentioned that. I was just talking to Derek Bourne yesterday about this, and then I was like driving home, and I was like, I was on my way to pick up my kid actually, and I was thinking to myself like, yeah, like what do I really want? I like really want to be a part of the community. If people end up liking stuff, it's whatever. But I kind of just want to make enough money from writing just to keep writing stuff, right? Like other than that, I'm kind of like whatever, I just enjoy doing stuff, like interviews with Nicholas Fuller, Herman Stewart Engel, H&M Gibson, people on my podcast. So I just my wife always say, I'm like, I'm going to work now. Like last night, and she's like, you're just going to talk to your friends about books. Like, don't even remotely, act like it's work. So I'm like, that's fair. So I think that's awesome. But I'm curious at, exactly like what genres are you currently writing in and why?
Okay. Well, I fell in love a few years back with Lit RPG and Gamelit. And as an offshoot of that System Apocalypse type
Okay.
books that, the genre of post-apocalyptic, where with the game mechanics, like in Lit RPG and Gamelit. And that was a side interest for me compared to like the Lit RPG and Gamelit otherwise. And then it grew on me more over time. Discovered it with the System Apocalypse series. So it was, that's what I'm writing now. Although I'll be doing urban fantasy probably. I'll be doing epic fantasy, Lit RPG, Gamelit. For now, it's Lit RPG because I had it, or sorry, System Apocalypse universe because I had the opportunity to write in the anthology. So I was like, hey, I've, there's a short story. I can write a short story. He apparently liked it well enough that he wanted me to write in that universe. So I expanded it into a novel in that universe. So I'm going to be doing three of those. Past that, I'm not sure if I'll be doing more classic Lit RPG Gamelit or if I'll be doing System Apocalypse or sorry, post-apocalyptic Earth Gamelit. I'm not sure. I'm working on several projects. It'll depend on which pans out, which catches my interest more. Right now, I'm trying to be disciplined and focus on this project.
What's that like? I got so I like stressed out this year with trying to do stuff and burn out. I'm at that point. I'm like, I'm just trying to keep writing. So I'm so glad my friend, I talked about this with Derek Bourne too a while back. Like in terms of trying, I had advice where I'm like, I wasn't doing anything. I'm one of those people like, I just have to write in a day, even if it's 1 15-minute writing sprint, even if it's 6 minutes. It just keeps me writing the next day. And I'm almost like more lubricated that way, I guess, in my creativity. So I have like my main thing I'm doing, my main project. And then I talked to Nicholas about this last night too. And then one of my friends suggested like switch genres and then have something kind of fun that, you're lightly working on. And then have a third thing that in case neither one of those is working, just something you can just screw around with and tinker with. And man, has that helped my productivity. So it just goes to show you, right? Like you never know what's going to work for you unless you talk to people and do whatever. But I think that's great advice. Just like overall, go with what's you, right? Go with what works for you. If I keep going with my fifth draft though, like every day after work lately, I'm like, it just makes me, it's almost like a spouse that you don't like, right? Or a friend, you're just like, don't look at me. You go. So I'm working, guys. Don't worry, I'm working on draft five. But yeah, it's like, but I think it's important. One of my friends is like, he can't do anything, unless he's done with this first thing. So I think it's really important to, define what works for you. So, but I definitely understand that. I'm curious though, how did you exactly come about writing in this anthology? Can you just like kind of lightly touch on that? I just think that's really
Sure.
cool. I was very surprised that that was kind of, what you did first, and then how that opened the doors. When I discovered that, I was like, oh, that's really cool. So I'm just kind of curious at kind of how that came about.
Sure. I'd been a fan of the System Apocalypse series, and System Apocalypse. There's a couple others. He Who Fights with Monsters. There's a few series that I could not. I listen. I don't read. I listen at work, and I can't. I had to pause the books with System Apocalypse with several others because I loved the system so much. I wanted to play with it in my head, and daydream about it. And that happened with System Apocalypse. Excuse me. And so then there was an anthology. I saw there was a short story anthology, which is not the one that I'm in. And I thought, oh, that's cool that there's a short story anthology for this. And then Katie Hanna came out with those brilliant Australia books. There's the Bounty Hunter books, Fistful of Credits, and then David, well, he hadn't come out yet, but there were spin-off books for the System Apocalypse series, and I thought that's really cool. So I saw that there was a second anthology. I'm on a lot of the Facebook groups, and I saw that. No, it was Tao's newsletter, is where I saw it first.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Tao's newsletter. He did the a call for submission. It was on the Facebook groups too, though, I think. And I thought, that sounds cool. I'll write a short story for it. And so I was writing a short story. He had asked for a story that's very different than anything that he'd done before. Not like, oh, you found a special way to use powers to be badass and awesome, and therefore you're kick ass. He wanted to take this anthology in a totally different direction and go totally untraditional. And so I was going to do a insurance agent with the System Apocalypse system because I used to be an insurance agent.
Oh, that's cool.
I was going to do like the community level of insurance where like if your fighters go and get themselves killed, you get a big payout because you've been paying in and or different things like that. And so it was a idea. I didn't ever fully develop it because I stopped, but it was I thought it was a kind of a cool, interesting idea for the system. But then I was watching it popped up on my For You whatever. I saw a clip of Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers, in front of Congress. And
Oh, yeah.
the old cantankerous, this was in the old days, so old cantankerous room full of just old white men all gathered and being cranky and fiscally responsible and trying not to fund public television. And they got him there and they were asking him these tough questions at first. And then he goes into this, he's like, can I give a prepared speech I've prepared for you? And they're like, I guess, basically. And he goes through this speech about educating children and television and education and how important children are. And by the end of it, they looked like they were broken and they were so with him. And they were like cheering and giving him a standing ovation. And they didn't even vote on the bill. They just said, you get your money. There was like literally no vote. But everybody was cheering, so they just gave him the money. And I thought to myself, and I went and I said to my wife, we need more of this and less of everything else. And then I decided to put my money where my mouth is and make more of this and less of everything else. Because for me, I love the action adventure, power fantasy, OP heroes, but the world doesn't just need that. It needs the kind of values of taking care of children, educating people, treating each other with dignity and respect. And I thought, what would a character like that, like a Mr.
Oh,
Rogers type
interesting.
person, look like in a world like this, a universe that's post-apocalyptic hellscape, where it literally rewards you for murdering people? And yet that's the best way to get power. How can somebody like this even survive? And can somebody like this even survive in a world like that? And then I got this flash in my head of monsters coming for these children that this guy is protecting. And how can he keep them alive? How can he protect them when he doesn't have that kind of power? He's a teacher. Even his class is teacher. So how can he keep them alive? And then I got the flash that the kids were aliens that he was protecting. And I got the flash that the monsters were people. They were humans.
Oh, interesting.
And I thought, I like that. I can work with that. And it created the story, What Would Mr. Rogers Do? And that's the one that's in the anthology. It's also the first chapter of my novel and expands on that and grows to see what kind of future he can have when he's not built for this kind of world. This is not your normal post-apocalyptic system apocalypse or even Lit RPG and Gamelit hero. So it's a lot like, in some ways, it's a lot like the same kind of question that leads to apocalypse parenting, which is, I think, a brilliant series as well. But it's a very different hero, very different kind of book, and I like it. I think it works well. It was definitely a challenge to expand into a novel, because it's that kind of character doesn't fit the mold for this kind of world as easily. So I had to jump through a lot of hoops to make it work, but I think it does.
Super cool. That's awesome. I was gonna say, like, if nobody's seen that clip of Mr. Rogers, like, dude, completely, as my students would say, owned those guys in that room. And it's so funny, right? Like, so soft spoken. But confident, right? And I remember first thinking, like, I'd never seen it. I think it was like right before the pandemic, I had seen it for the first time. And it was like right after. And I was so surprised that yeah, like he really was. I was just thinking about him the other day, right? Like he really was a quiet reserve of strength, right?
Yeah.
And totally different. And I had a kid in class, and they were talking about they were like discussing gender norms or whatever. And it was so funny that like ninth graders, like 13, 14, 15 year olds, pick up on these things, nuances and things. And they were talking about like what is really like masculinity, And one of the kids brought up Mr. Rogers. He's like, I think Mr. Rogers is a great example of masculinity. And my co-teacher and I are like, all right, like we agree, but like why do you think so? And he's like, well, that's really what, to me, what a man should be, I was like, or just a good person, it was like somebody that, isn't loud and boisterous necessarily, but also isn't going to back down and tries to do the right thing. And by the time they were done, we were like, did that just happen? Like, we're on candid camera or something. But I mean, that's the kind of impact that somebody like that has, right? So I think that's cool that you were able to take something like that and, expand on that characterization, with a very interesting setting, I would say, for that character. So that's super cool. What a cool origin story.
Yeah, I
Awesome.
thought it was a I'd been writing for a while. It's a cool way to break in, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. Oh, that's super cool. My friend, it's funny how many times Mr. Rogers popped up for me recently. Like maybe the universe is like trying to tell me to go buy some more sweaters or something. Like I don't know, but it's crazy. It's been like the last like 3 months. But yeah, he's definitely one of my favorite like political figures. I think it's, oh, you know why? Because my wife and I keep talking about him because it's been hard for us to find, we can find everything else on TV and stuff, but like PBS, like there's no, I don't know if there's a way where you can buy them or something, probably on YouTube. I'll have to look now and think about it. But we like want to show my kid Mr. Rogers, right? And they definitely don't make it easy, And you're
Yeah.
like, why? Like that was like just like brilliant, television. That was one of my favorite shows growing up. So my wife's like, I really want, him to, our son to be able to see that. And I mean, I would love if LeVar Burton came back and did Reading Rainbow again. That was like another one I loved. And I just think it's, I don't know, it's interesting. And my dad and I were talking about that recently, particularly with stuff going on in the world. And we were just talking about, just like those types of influences, of particularly with men, who exhibit a certain characteristic, that anybody should be proud of, to display. So it's so interesting, but I think that's where my dad, he's like, where I was talking about Noble Bright, like fantasy and stuff. And we were discussing some of those, like older movies and stuff, like whatever, Kevin Costner's Wyatt Earp or, a bunch of Clint Eastwood's and stuff. But we were kind of talking about the dynamics of that time period, right? Where you have Mr. Rogers, LeVar Burton, and, that was like weird because you had like a whole wide range of, I would say, like masculine figures or heroes, right? So it kind of makes sense, right? Why those influences are all over, and you have people that, are, love Batman, love Superman, or one or the other, or whatever, right? Based off of those norms that they, grew up on and stuff. So
Yeah.
I think that's really interesting. But that's cool that you were able to take that and craft that into a different way, a unique way. So that's really neat. Wow, yeah, you gave me a lot to think about there, Jason. So,
Yeah,
yeah, that I think that's really cool though. I'm gonna have to go back and watch that clip now. Maybe that'll be with my ride home. That's what I'll do. I'm curious that in terms of your co-authored book for Head of the Class. Kind of curious, like, so you talked a little bit, but how did that actually come about? And then how did you guys come up with just the overall idea? Based off of, the things you've already said, like you were in that vehicle, right? And then how did the rest of that come about and then come into this co-authored book?
sure. Well, Tao is fantastic at letting people play in his universe, and he's really respectful, and he's really good at it. And he does. There's lots of different ways that you can co-author books, and some co-authors just have the other person do all the work and put their name on it and make a lot of money. Some people will micromanage everything and do everything. It is a big range. With Tao, he does something that works really well for, but he actually he works differently with the different authors. So it's a tricky thing for me to speak on entirely, but he'll help you when you want help. He'll answer questions. He'll offer feedback and give, but he really does let you play and you make those things, make the decisions. So you kind of pitch the idea and then he'll say, well, yes, but maybe not this, or yes, but maybe not that. And some of the authors have more trouble or less trouble with the rules and the constraints. What works well for me is that I've played Dungeons and Dragons, Pathfinder, all the different role-playing games all my life, and I've worked with lots of DMs, and so I'm used to not being the DM. I'm used to having someone say, you can't do that. What do you
Oh, it
want to do
makes sense.
instead?
Yeah.
And so we didn't have any tension on that like other people sometimes would, where I'm like, oh, okay, I can't do that. Well, how about this? And he's like, oh, yeah, that'll work great. And it works really well for me. The only downside for me of having played so much Dungeons and Dragons and done so much with acting and improv and stuff was that the setting stuff is harder for me. The details is harder for me because I didn't do that
Oh,
with the role-playing games. I didn't DM. So I was used to being a player. So I just beat all the characters as the player for the whole thing. But the other part doesn't come as naturally to me as like the dialogue or the actions and things like that. But yeah, no, so we sat down and he said, hey, do you want to pitch a book series? I like working with you. I like your voice. I like your writing style. Do you want to pitch a storyline in this? And I was like, yeah, I'd like to expand. I wrote up what I'd like to do. And he looked at it and he goes, I think this would be great. I think it'll work well. I think it'll reach a different audience. I don't think it's going to make as much money or be as popular as the power fantasy type things. It's not as traditional. It doesn't have a hyper aggressive main character. I'm paraphrasing at this point. There's not word for what he's doesn't have a hyper aggressive main character as the main focus. It isn't just a big power fantasy. It doesn't. It's got some softer characters. It's got more. It's got an intersex character. It's got, different things that won't appeal to some of the lit RPG gamelet crowd. Although, I thought, okay, it won't make as much money, won't be quite as successful, but I'll just make it anyway. I like it, and he's like, yeah, I like it. We can do that. That's fine. It seems to be doing better than we feared. I think partly because I like the Mr. Rogers viewpoint on the world. I like to be kind to people. I like to be considerate. I like to explore other people's viewpoints. So I'm very fair to the conservative viewpoint. I'm very fair to the masculine viewpoint. I'm not filled with, I don't resent or hate people. And so I think people have responded to that better than it could have happened if it had come from a different viewpoint. Because I like diversity. I like diversity of people. I like diversity of viewpoints. I like to explore all of those. And I think as long as you treat everybody fair, it's going to go over well, or better than it could. But I don't know. It was a concern, I guess, but I kind of thought, damn the torpedoes, just do it anyway. And so I think it's gone over well. I think all things considered, you get a couple of people. There's one guy on Amazon who was like, I absolutely hate
Always
this and
one.
Amazon won't let me tell you why, but, and I'm like, yeah, sure. But I don't think most people, I know the algorithms and the social media and the news media want us all at each other's throats. I know they want us all hating each other and picking apart everything everybody does. But I think most people, the majority of people, just like people and they like all kinds of different people and they like all kinds of different stories and all kinds of different viewpoints. And I think so long as that's where you're coming from, as long as even if you're talking about something negative about somebody or some group, as long as you're coming at it from a fair, honest viewpoint and you're not strawmanning them, I think they can see that and they can understand that there are good things and bad things about every viewpoint and every side. I wasn't going to talk about any of this, but apparently I
No,
am.
I mean, I think that's true. I've had to navigate certain things for one of my characters. He's a Marine, he's a military veteran. And I came in my alpha readers, and one of the things was like, well, they're a little too goody-goody. And I'm like, okay. And and then there was a couple things, and I'm trying to like ride that line, right, of highlighting the military sacrifice of veterans, right? But also saying that, like, with this character, just exploring, like, later on there are things he's still proud of, but there's also things that maybe he's not so proud of, right? And maybe some things he's not quite sure, right? Just so we can have a little bit of a conversation, right? Particularly coming and bringing in, the experience, and the experiences of veterans that are hopefully going to read it and like his character and things like that. And yeah, so I totally get that. And part of my alpha readership, I'm like, okay, I was a little too here. So I was like, okay, if I get a little bit more honest, or more in the middle of the road, I'm like, I was worried about going the other way too much, so I've made things a little too, not nor whatever you want to say, right? Like, not as complex as they could have been for the character. So I was worried. And then they're like, nope, we can see this and that. So I like kind of moved back to the middle again, and now I think it's evened itself out. So but I'm sure I'll have somebody, right, that's like, oh, you're claiming they're just two good guys, or they're the bad guys, or something. But really, I'm just trying to explore that line. So I totally get what you're saying. I think it's
I'm
hard
gonna inter
also in writing, but
That's cool. I'm gonna interject because I know you want to go on to the next question, but I
oh
want
no, go
to
ahead, go ahead. Yeah.
touch on what you just said. That line, that exact line that you're talking about, is the kind of the focus of this whole book.
Oh,
And
cool.
the way that I went with it, the main character is really soft. He's really goody two shoes. He's too much that direction to survive a world like what he's in.
Yeah.
And so I thought to myself, how can I play with that? And I thought, I've got another character in the short story that is the far other side of that. He's too aggressive, too hyper violent, too kind of the extreme of what you would expect in Lit RPG game lit in the power fantasy extreme side. He's too far in that direction, anti-hero. You've got your old classic hero, and then you've got your anti-hero that's basically almost a villain. And I thought it'd be cool to play with both of them. And it almost became like a buddy book where you're playing with both viewpoints. You've got the main the guy's a grade school teacher, an elementary school teacher, and he is not built, who loves Mr. Rogers. He's not built for this world, but yet he's got people he wants to protect, and he's got to bend and change and yet try to keep his morality the way that it is. And then you've got this other guy who's hyper violent, extremely tactical guy who has gone too far. He's gone over the line and gets influenced, and they both influence each other and move towards the middle. And the cool thing for me is to try to find where the right line is, or where the range for the right range is for that, because that is a really hard question, and it's a question that matters in the world right now, because you've got the stuff going on with Israel and Pakistan and Hamas, and you've got the stuff going on with Ukraine and Russia, and where the US is supposed to fit into that. And you've got these questions matter right now of where is the line, and how do you survive a world like that? And I had already started the book, but had not finished the book when the stuff happened with Israel, Hamas, and I was like, I've got to go through this again and just make sure I'm doing this right, because it matters. And I think one of the things that I'm most proud of is that with all of this happening in the world, the number one post-apocalyptic, sorry, the number one dystopian science fiction hot new release in the world was this book on Amazon for almost a week. It was for dystopian fiction. There's a book when the world's on in these wars that is about dealing with violence and dealing with danger, and how do you do it while still keeping track of your morality and it's still hopeful and positive. And I thought that was really, that was something that I was like, oh, wow. Because, you know, it's dystopia and that's usually dark and not hopeful. And I thought that even if it's just 4 days, 5 days, to have the number one hot new release be something that I had something to do with that touches on these issues at this time was something I was proud of.
No, that's awesome. Maybe I don't think we talked about it here recently. So if anybody that's listening, you're like, oh, that's pretty cool. I don't think you understand, or maybe we haven't gone over it enough recently. Maybe that's my fault, but to hit that high, even for 12 hours in any category is astounding. So to hit for multiple for 24 hours, if you guys go back, listen to Wizards, Warriors, and Words with Will White as the guest for those two spots, you'll hear him talk about, oh yeah, we got 12 hours for number one spot. We got 24 hours. And they're talking about at endpoint, they thought it was going to drop, but I think they lasted like 3 weeks or something like that, which was astounding. So I think that anytime you get somebody, like that, like your eyes, like in any category, right? At any point to get that tag, I mean, that's truly remarkable. And I don't think enough people realize that how hard it is to do, even, people talk in the overall store, which is great and all, but even just in individual categories. I mean, particularly now with the flooding of AI, or whatever you want to say, like there's just a lot more, stuff to go through. So the congrats on that. I mean, that's a
Oh, thank you.
astounding stat. So I just want to point that out to the audience that if you're new to the game, because this is a Journeyman's podcast, that's actually a really astounding stat. So whether or not you're there for, like I said, even 6 hours, I had a friend that was there for 3 hours and was like, we did it, And I'm like, there you go.
Yeah, I
You
would take it,
was in the
especially
first.
for an early book. I'm
For
not,
sure.
and I gotta be perfectly honest. I don't think I'd hit it without Tao's name on the book. I just don't. But I'll take it for a first book to have where you hit that kind of thing. The one that was funny for me was the science fiction. It was First Contact sci-fi. I was number two, solid for 2 weeks, but it never hit one, or at least not when I was awake. And because they don't keep a record of it, you don't know. It's that is the most stress-inducing thing. I not just me, but other authors have told me the most stress-inducing thing is trying to watch those because you want to know, you want to hit it because you're going to advertise the heck out of it if you hit those number one spots, and also just for your ego, for your imposter syndrome, you want to know if you hit that number one, and so it makes it hard to sleep those first few days when you're wanting to check it all the time. But I want to give a shout out to my Eve Corporation because I was hot new release number two on First Contact Science Fiction for like 2 weeks, and I happened to mention it to the corporation, and then six of them went and bought the book, and I hit number one.
Oh, that's awesome.
So this is my corporation, Ascendance. Shout out to them.
That's
They
awesome.
they were cool about it. So I hit number one in that category too. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Wow, that's awesome. Multiple categories. That's a big deal. But that's really cool. That's an awesome story. And I think whether you're with whoever, right? I mean, he's been there quite a bit, with
Oh, yeah.
novels in particular, but I do think, that there's something to be said, for I love the cover, I love the blurb, I thought it was really interesting. I'd actually had seen your guy, I'd seen the book, just because I follow like his him on like was it like Kindle or whatever. So it had popped up for me, and then I didn't have a chance to really look at the blurb. And then that's when like other people like contacted me, about interviewing you guys and stuff. And I was like, oh, that's really neat. So then when I went back, I was like, oh, okay. I didn't even realize, I just saw the cover. I didn't even realize like that, either one of you guys, that was your book. So I thought that was really cool. And I was like, oh, really neat. And that's when I went and looked at the blurb and everything. But I thought that that was a really unique and interesting idea, particularly for the genre. And for me, I'm like, it's great. I love a lot of different books, and things. And, I do love tropes and things, but I also love subversion of tropes, particularly when people do them, really uniquely. So I do like that you have, this like your type of hero, right? And then like an anti-hero. And I do like that push and pull for the personalities. But to me, it just sounded really interesting from the bat off the back. So I was like, oh, this is different, particularly for, for this. I don't know if you want to call it subgenre into subgenre or just subgenre or whatever, but like, you know, in this line of stories, I'm like, I didn't think that you would find somebody like that. And for somebody like me, you know, like I could connect with a teacher that's trying to protect their students, you know, like that's all I do all day long for the last like almost 20 years of my life at this point. So I connected with that and I was like, oh, this sounds really cool. So it definitely piqued my interest based off of the blurb in particular. So thanks. Sorry. Oh, it's all fine. Yeah. So I thought that was really cool. So kudos to you guys there. And do you mind telling us a little bit more, you know, just about, you know, just like the book in general? You know, just maybe go into a little bit more detail. Thank you so much.
Sure.
You know, just in general, just that, you know, that way our audience can, you know, no, you're fine. Thanks, Tony. You know, can just kind of go from there. And I definitely want to make sure everybody checks out the cover and the blurb because it's one of my favorite combos recently. But
Oh,
if you
thank you.
could go in just a little bit more detail there, just so, you know, they have a little bit more grasp on, you know, where that
Sure.
blurb's coming from, that'd be great. I think that's a great advertisement for you guys. So.
Sure. The thing that's there with anything with writing, there's choices that you're going to make, and they're going to be things that are going to make some people happy, other people unhappy. They're going to make the book better in some ways, worse in other ways. And I've learned so much over time that it's not so much about right and wrong. It's just about the choices and the upsides and the downsides. And so you're going to have a lot of different choices, like pacing. You can add more detail and it's going to be cool and it's going to be more descriptive, but then it's going to slow things down and it's going to lower the pace. And then the pace isn't going to be as strong. So I like to keep the pace strong, but I also like to have at least some detail and descriptive awesomeness. And then the same thing with viewpoints. And in this particular book, there's multiple viewpoint characters. And that one that is something I think makes it better in some ways. And it can also pull people out. You know, sometimes they like some characters, but not other characters.
Oh,
But it's also an upside because you can show the different viewpoints and the different characters and stuff. And so I've got some people are like, I wish it was just the main character, just Caleb, just following him. I've got other people that are like, I love exploring all these different viewpoints, and you did the different characters and different viewpoints very well. And I think they're both right. It's just a different kind of book, you know, one way or the other.
yeah.
But I liked playing with the different characters and the different viewpoints. As a writer, if you're an aspiring author, I strongly suggest not doing that for your first book because it made it so much harder than it would have had to be because you're having to build the characters in much more detail. You have to get into their head so much more. You've got to learn how to write their voice so much more. Especially, I've got one of the characters is a hexapod humanoid that has been broken from his hive mind.
Oh,
And
wow.
it is fun to read. It is hard to write. But I think I nailed it. My editor, that's the one of the things that she liked the most was that viewpoint. So I think I nailed it. But it was hard and it took a lot longer than it would have taken. Like I said, for first book, I'd suggest not doing that. But yeah, I think it was worthwhile. I'm not unhappy that I made the choice. But to talk more just about the book and the it's so hard to try to figure out how much to say without giving away spoilers. But I'll just kind of go for it, and let's warn everybody that there's going to be a little bit more spoilers. If you hate spoilers, skip ahead to like where I wave my hand. I'm letting you know that there's at least a little bit of spoilers. He's got to try to save the kids. Obviously, the book happens, you know, it's chapter one, so he does manage to save the kids. And he doesn't do it through violence. He doesn't do it through powers. He does it through connecting with another person on a personal level and getting them to understand and getting them to remember what the world was like and how it could be different again. And that's that hyper-violent, extreme character that needs to take a step back and go more the other direction. And so then they separate and they go into their own ways, and they're all trying to do their own ways to keep going. And it follows both of those paths, the main character and his, the two different main characters, I guess you could say, the two different main viewpoint characters. It's Caleb is the teacher and Lee is the ex, he was a business guy, a he was in the not the Navy, but the National Guard. He was tougher, more military. He had been part of a group of xenophobic militants that were like trying to fight to rid the Earth of aliens and get rid of them. And then he's not as comfortable in his organization anymore. And the consequences of that become catastrophic for him. And then it's his story of coming back from the extreme. And the other one's got to get tougher, more powerful. And then they eventually come back together and fight against the extreme xenophobic militant group together. Because, wow, it's hard without too many spoilers, but.
I honestly, I think that's perfect.
Okay, good.
Like I think that just sounds awesome. I gotta say, I absolutely loved, like, I was like, oh, head of the class. I was like, okay. I was kind of like, is that, like, before I read the blurb, I was like, oh, that's a cool title. I like that. And then, but not until I read the blurb, I was like, oh, that's a really great title, with head of the class. I thought that was amazing. But I totally get that. I had like an idea for distorting, I just like the play with those characters, like what you're saying, because I have these two paladins. One's a dark paladin, one's a light paladin, and then they've been raised a certain way by their, whatever you want to say, church over here, cult over here, organizations, right? Very similar. And whatever happens, like, stuff hits the fan for both of them, and then they both realize that the worlds that they thought they knew are actually not the case. But I love what you're saying, because I'm trying to work with these characters to do something very similar to what you're saying here. So to me, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to read it to see how you guys have done this, with these two characters, because I just think it's such a cool, like, playoff, in terms of those. That's why I always think it's fun, like, speaking of, like, Shmi Stovall, right? Like, Time March Warlock, like, with Adair, the main character, he's old, grizzled, and jaded as hell. And then you have the young, like, doesn't know anything about magic, Bree, and it was such a fun dynamic, right? It's that lethal weapon. I'm doing that with another fantasy series. I have like a old grizzled shadow walker thief meets a, like, basically like 19-year-old, like, just out, like, initiate for these war priests who gets into a bunch of trouble, and they have to, like, I just think those kind of dynamics, like, they just make things so much fun. So I have so many of those recently that I've been writing about. So I'm really curious to see, what you guys have done, and it doesn't even matter to me that it's like a different genre, right? Or subgenre. Like, I just think it'll be interesting to see how you guys were able to, to write those two characters. I think that relationship alone, now add the fact that, one's a teacher, and I just love the grizzled, and I love both of those aspects, those opposite spectrum, kind of ideas and stories. So to me, that just sounds like right up my alley. So I think that
That's
sounds
cool.
really, really cool. But I'll be honest with you, if it makes you feel better, Jason, if it had just been like another, I don't want to offend anybody, but if it just been like kind of like another version of an aggro, like one aggro character or whatever, typical, whatever, of the genre with that trope or whatever. I don't know. That's like fantasy recently too, right? Like, Steven Arian with his The Coward. That one really appeals to me. I can't wait to read that. I bought it, and subverts expectations of the genre and writes something a little new and unique. And I don't know. To me, like, that's always really interesting. So if it makes you feel any better, the storyline that you came up with and the way that you did this relationship actually makes me want to read it more than if it was, kind of like more cookie cutter, or whatever. So I don't know. To me, it seems like no wonder why you hit, these two categories, because to me, it just sounds like a much more interesting story. So,
Well,
which I think a lot of people can appreciate. So.
I will take any comparison to Time Marked Warlock or any of her books that you would like to give me, because holy crap, those are good. But yeah, no, it's the same kind of thing. It's because you've got the naive, really positive character, and then although less of a child in this case, but a lot of the geeks like me are kind of man children on some level all our lives. And we still like video games, we still like
Didn't my
fantasy.
wife pay you to say that,
I'm a geek. I love all that stuff, and there's all kinds of geek references, probably more than there should be. I don't care. There's going to be
Never
if
have
I'm writing a
enough.
book, there will be Princess Bride references, there will be geek references. I did not manage a Goonies reference. I'm ashamed in book one. I am going to have one in book two.
You got time. You got time in the series, right?
But no, I'm going to make geek references all the time, just because I love it. And I know a lot of other people do too. I know other people are sick of it. That's just what you're going to get with me. So if that's going to be something that you're not going to like, you're probably not going to like my books. But you might anyway. But no, I like the only thing that's tricky with and is it Shammy or Shami?
Shimmy, yep.
Shimmy. The thing that she handled better than me, that's fine. Or just worked different for her book, but the main character is the one that started out grizzled, whereas mine, the main viewpoint character is the one that starts out as the softer, and that's going to rub at least some of the audience the wrong way. The guy's a vegetarian. He's kind. He's a teacher, grade school teacher. He's sweet. He's nonviolent, so I think a lot of people think the book is going to start that way, is going to end up that way exactly, and he's still going to be exactly the same, and so it'll bounce some readers that she's able to keep, because they're like, well, I just don't want a character like that. But you don't want her character started off too far in the opposite direction, where he's kind of living like a bum. He's too much of an asshole at that part of his life, not taking responsibility. And so you always want your character to start out at a bad place, or the non-optimum place, where you're going to end up in a more optimum place. Now, ironically, my character starts out in some ways a more optimum place that is no longer optimum for the world in which he's in, because he'd just die if he stayed that way. He and everybody he cares about is going to die. So he's got to change, he's got to grow, but it starts out in a different place.
Well, it is interesting. I can't even remember. I wouldn't say who it was, but I can't remember. Like, I thought Shmi with a dare, like, it was like right on the money. It's like, oh, he's kind of a jerk. And then like the stuff happens with the other, with Bree. And man, did she walked such a great tightrope line with that, like where it just like ropes you in. I did read I started to read a book from an author about a year and a half ago, right after my son was born, and I was home on paternity leave, and I had to stop because I think that they were trying to do was what she was able to do with a dare. And then by the end, right, you're just like, holy crap, was this like a great journey and an arc for a character. But the person I was reading, like, I think was trying to do the same thing, but the character, main character, was too much of a jerk, and I just couldn't get into it, And I was like, I'm sure at some point, but I was like, it just wasn't me. I can't read 89 pages or 90 pages out of a 300 something page book of somebody just being a total jerk with no redeeming qualities whatsoever. So I do think it was a good, and what you're saying too, right? I think it's good to think, like, how can I do this? How can I create change, but also make it so. Like, I have like this if there are a couple characters that I love rogues, right? So I got to make sure that my rogues are roguish, right? And okay with breaking rules, but there's got to be some rules that they don't break, right? That we can all relate to, right? So I have like a thief, and he'll screw you over for your money, but you try to pummel some kid on the way to school for their lunch money, and he'll pummel you. And there's the standard, right? So I think that some characters, it's really hard, right, for people to get into. You look at Frank Castle, right? And I think that's why the Punisher TV series, with Frank, or with whatever name, was so good, because They walk that line so well, right? Like if you're somebody innocent, he's got you, right? That's why I actually like Jack Reacher a lot with Alan. I think it's just so good on Prime. Is like, if you're cool, you're cool. Justin Hartley and the Tracker is another great one that I love. He's more like my character Nathaniel, and I think you just go from there, right? Where you take those qualities. Like I think some people didn't like Jack Reacher season two as much because he's a little bit more aggro and and kind of left some of those things in season one. I do think it was a different story, but I think some people, if you look at it from a writing standpoint, they found it hard, right? Because he didn't have his like Southern charm or whatever you want to say, or Midwest charm or whatever, and it kind of left some people in the dust, So one of the criticisms of that character that I know Alan talked about recently was we're trying to find a way to use one of these other stories, but I thought it was interesting that people said that because the first scene is him essentially stopping this lady from being like assaulted and like kidnapped. So I'm like, well, to me, it was still the same. But I think it is something to be said from a writer's standpoint, it's like learning those kind of lessons, like you were saying, like, you don't want to go too one way, but you have to show growth, right? In some way. I like how you mentioned that with growth with the world too, right? Like, and like there's nothing wrong with him necessarily, but then the world is wrong. So what's he going to do to even it out? So I think that just is a brilliant way to create a new type of, and I just think it's interesting, right? Because we all say that no new stories, right? But I haven't really seen a lot of people try to rework those parts in the way that you're talking about, which I think makes it so unique. And just it makes a more interesting story to me. So I think that's really cool.
I know with the writing trick, the thing that you do, that they call it the save the cat phenomenon, where you make a kind of a unlikable or seemingly irredeemable character, but then they do something to show that there's really some good value or some hidden something there. That's called the save the cat phenomenon. It's funny that you mentioned Jack Reacher, because when I first the first draft of the book was mostly done. And Tao was looking through Tao. I'm saying his name wrong. I'm horrible with that pronunciation. I'm horrible with names and pronunciations. But the he was looking at the Lee chapters, and he said, "This isn't quite working." He didn't mind what was happening. He didn't mind the action, different things, but the voice just wasn't clicking for him. And I had just read a Jack Reacher book because the show had been out, and I thought I'll check it out. And I thought, a Jack Reacher style voice might work for this. So I read a couple more Jack Reacher books. I tapped into the old movie, not the new show, but the old movie Watchmen. There's
Oh,
the character of
Rorschach?
Rorschach, who I always thought was just totally badass.
Oh, he's awesome.
That scene, you're not in here with I'm not in here with trapped in here with you. You're all trapped in here with me. And
That's
so
great.
I played with the voice a little bit and the writing style, and I redid the entire character, everything from his viewpoint, every scene with a new voice that did not exactly like either of those, just that made it his own. And I think he just ended up so cool and so badass, and then took out t some details, put in others, and really made his voice, I think, distinct. And out of everything about the book series, my absolute favorite thing, from as just as a fan of audiobooks, is Daryl Mayfield's Lee voice for the audiobook
Oh,
is
okay.
phenomenal. I would love a entire book series just with that voice. That what he does for Lee is so cool and so badass. And I would love to video games, movie series, book series with him. So if anybody happens to be watching, has anything to do with hiring people, hire Daryl. We got unbelievably lucky because, again, this is an ensemble cast book, which is always hard for narration. It's got multiple viewpoint characters. It's got distinct voice viewpoint characters, and he nails them so well, and does such a phenomenal job with the narration that it's just I could not be happier with the narration. If I had unlimited money and I could choose anybody I wanted to, I would not replace him. He's just
Awesome.
phenomenal.
That's awesome. That's super cool. I look forward to checking that out. I'm always looking for. I had a couple. Like I loved, like Sound Booth Studios. Did Shamiz Time, Mark
Oh, yeah.
Warlock. Like they did a great job. I've had like three audiobooks. I'm just like, man. Like I loved like Christopher's Black Tongue Thief. Like, God, was that amazing narration? Yeah, I've had so many great ones. Of course, Travis is the one of the gods of narrating.
Oh, yeah.
And like Amy Hutchins on last year, a couple other people, like just like amazing voices. David Eddings is narrator for the Belgaria and the Malaria, and like I don't remember the guy's name, but I loved his narration and he did all the voices. So I think it's always hard to find a really good voice, right? And somebody that can do multiple POVs and do them well, so I definitely understand that struggle, but I've been very blessed recently with listening to some great ones. So I'm in like really paying attention to, who's doing them, because I think it is important, right? It's the same thing as having a great cover. I have my artist right now, redoing, the logo for my series, and oh my God, the thing, just the basic idea he sent me, I was just like, oh my God, I hope one of these days I get a pinky worth of talent that, my guy Caleb has. And that's how I think, anything should be, right? Look at like Felix Ortiz for a cover, but just amazing stuff he's pumped out literally with even just the last couple of weeks, just like holy moly. But I think that's just as important to, do for editing, of course, but also for narration. And I think a lot of people think, oh, I can just narrate it myself or get a narrator, like anybody. But I do think it's like, it's the same thing as like really making sure that that tone and voice, is really matching the story, I think is really critical. And I think some authors, which I get, I'm in that boat too. I'm going to do a Kickstarter for mine once I get my three novellas out in this trilogy, and I'm trying to offer that so that way I can, definitely get somebody like that, who's definitely perfect for the role. But I think it's really important to do that because, like you're saying, like if it takes the story to a higher elevation for you who, wrote it, what does that say about us? You know what I mean? Like that's saying that for us, like, so if you're able to do that and find, I think you do need to find the best person for the job, no matter what the job is. So I think that's one that a lot of people I see recently just kind of, filter out to AI or do it themselves or whatever. I've seen some people do it really well. J.R. Weiss did his and did himself, and it was awesome. But I know if I did mine, it would suck. So I would not do mine personally by myself. But again, find what works for you. But that's an awesome recommendation. So I didn't know you guys had that. So I'm actually really looking forward to that. It always helps me to do the Kindle and to do the Audible or audio at the same time. Helps me get through. I would never get through a book if I wasn't able to do that at the same time. So that's super cool.
It
How'd you
was
guys
Podium.
Podium?
Podium did
Oh,
ours.
I was going to
I
ask you.
love Sound Booth. I love Podium. I
Yep.
was happy to work with any of these great companies was fantastic. But Podium or Sound Booth, I would have been thrilled with either of them. They're such high value books.
No, I definitely agree. It's so nice to see that both of their expansions, I would say, like the last 2 years. I was so excited the last 2 years seeing how many. Like I had like Abby Goldsmith, so all her stuff's with Podium. So it's just so nice to see, that they're expanding, to, just great authors and creatives and, trying to really, put great products out there. So I think that's just amazing. I've seen so many people where they're like, oh, I was surprised to get, a call from one of them or whatever, and was able to get the audio out there. So I think that that is absolutely awesome. So that's super cool. But I look forward to not only reading the book, but to listen to the audio as well, because
Awesome.
that's my jam. So I like to just trade off. I need to have my son, otherwise I can't ever get through a paperback or a full Kindle. So he always wants to play. So I gotta, put the headphones in and take a break when we're walking or, run around the park or something like that. I know we're winding down on time, but I feel like, there's so many cool things, that we talked about. But I'm curious, just for this question before we kind of get to our last one, what's like one setting you wish you could write in and why? Like if you could choose Star Wars, Warhammer, D&D, whatever it is, right? Any little RPG series, whatever. Like what would be like the one universe you're like, God, I gotta write in this. Like if I, end up getting this credibility or whatever, and people are like, hey, you take the helm with this and you got your pick. Which universe would it be and why?
You're gonna get a different answer from me every day about
Yeah,
that,
that's
but
fair.
today's answer is Thundercats.
Oh, that would be so much fun. I've never considered that. I love anthropomorphic like beings. Like cat people are some of my favorite. So now you ruined me because I have to do that now. That's
Thundercats
just
is, yeah.
amazing.
Thundercats is extra special to me because it's not only the first real big thing that made me fall in love with the fantasy genre,
That's cool.
it's one of the only things. When I was 12, I was hit by a truck and I
Jeez.
lost almost all of my memories from before I was 12.
Wow.
And I was in a coma for 3 months. I was, sorry, 3 weeks. I was in a coma for 3 weeks. I lost not the knowledge, but the experiences, which was weird because I could remember what a bus was. I knew what a bus was. Could not remember ever having been on one or ever having seen one.
Wow.
And some of the memories came back over the years, not as many or as much as you might expect. And I rebuilt my life with fiction and fantasy and stuff like that. But I never, and it wasn't even something I realized until recently, I never lost the memories of Thundercats and Silverhawks, which were the
That's
first
crazy.
two cartoons I ever saw. I never lost those memories. And so it's one of the only things from my childhood that's actually stuck with me. So
Wow.
I would want to do it right. I'd want to honor it. And I think there are ways that if you love something and you have the skill to write in somebody else's universe, that you actually can do it right and honor what was there before and still also bring it up to modern and bring it up to the current things and make it more unique. I just don't like it when they put people who hate a product in charge of that product,
Oh,
or who don't not know or don't care about the product, like they did
yeah.
great
People
with
go, I
Wicked.
never read the book. I've
Yeah.
never watched the cartoon. I've never read the graphic
Yeah.
novels. I'm like, what? And I think sometimes it does deter you, right? If you go too much to canon or whatever,
Yeah.
but we've never even remotely done that stuff. Or it's like, why? Like, I just that's insane to me. Like, you're just
Yeah.
spitting on the fandom, no matter what the fandom is to me. So I
Right.
agree with that. Yeah. Oh yeah, that's well. It's funny that you mentioned that because Masters of the Universe, Revelations. Holy moly, the Netflix like cartoon. I was just like sick one day last year, and I just flipped it on for season one. And holy moly, like they really did a great job, like nodding to fans, but then expanding on the overall story. It was one of the best. I love Masters of the Universe and He-Man and. I used to watch cartoons, had everything, and I thought it was done so well, and it really got me back in. I think Castlevania, on Netflix did a really great job, doing that as well. I can't wait to get back to like the last like season and everything. I've just been so busy, but man, Silverhawks too would be a really cool one. I loved
Yeah.
both of those as a kid, so yeah, I used to go around pretending to be. any of them really. From Thundercats, my dad and I just found an old. It's funny that you mentioned that one because I have a picture of I had like Lando's sword or whatever, and
The Sword of Omens.
thank you, yeah, and oh my God, and I have like I like made like like a crest,
Nice.
and, yeah, and I'm just like on a rock or something. It's just like a Polaroid, but I just thought it was so funny. So that's a really good one. I didn't consider those. I've always considered like. Some of the movies and things I never considered the cartoons. I think there's so many great ones. What was it like the was it the Pirates of Dark Water or something like that or whatever? I love that one. Yeah, so I think there's so many good ones now that you've kind of blown my brain up with the cartoons. I have to go back
Yeah.
and I think G.I. Joe would be a cool one personally. I loved Snake Eyes and everybody. I love the graphic novels. I thought they did a good job recently.
Yeah.
So, well, that's it. What a great answer. That's awesome. So we'll get there with that last one, just so we have enough time for you there, Jason, to talk about some of the things. So what, news updates, current projects, anything like that that you can share with us before we head out?
Sure. I'm working currently on book two, which is Dropout. So book one is
Awesome.
Head of the Class, book two is Dropout.
I love the titles. I love them.
That one's it's a challenge to write a second book, a sequel, if you want to do it justice. And I've got a big, like I said, a big ensemble cast, and now they're all smashed in the same place, and that's more challenging.
Yeah.
It was easier when I had them m moving around, but it's growing. It's moving along. I'm liking it. But yeah, the book two is Dropout. That's what I'm on now. I do have a secret side project that
Oh,
I'm
cool.
working on as well. But that will be further down the road in my own universe.
Oh,
Because
awesome.
as I said, I'm trying to only work on the one. I'm not succeeding working on one.
One of us, one of
Yeah.
us.
I like the idea of the primary, secondary, tertiary, because if you're just if you're spinning your wheels, it's not really valuing anyone. I think momentum is the most important thing in anything in life, in exercise, in fitness, in writing and work. The things that you have momentum on in your life are the easiest things to continue. It gets even sometimes it's harder to not write if you've been writing than it is to write. And momentum is everything. But yeah, so book one is Head of the Class, which I hope everybody checks out. And if you love it, let me know. Tell me exactly what you think. If, sorry, if you hate it, let me know. Let me know exactly what you think. If you love it, tell everyone.
If you don't tell anybody.
Yes. but yeah, no, I'm interested in hearing what everybody has to say. Then book two will be coming out relatively soon, recording, and then it'll be on to book three, which I'm not going to give the title of, but I know it this will either be a three book or a four book series. I mean, I guess depending on how it goes, it could potentially expand farther, but I think probably three books. It might be four. It won't be more than five, because that's as far as I want to take this particular one. It all depends on also whether they continue to be gigantically monstrous 716 page books, or if some of them are a little bit shorter.
Know that feeling. Nicholas and I were just teasing on air. Hopefully he sees it, Andy Pelican, and we're like, yeah, it must be nice to bust out like 750 page books in a weekend and like have them be good too. So definitely understand that. We're like having trouble
Anderson.
finishing, right? Yeah, we're like having finishing novellas like 25 to 30,000 words lately. And Nicholas's like, well, we both have small children. I was like, thank you for giving me an excuse for my lack of diligence lately. But yeah, I think that just sounds really cool. I do love the titles. I just think maybe it's the teacher in me. I don't know. I just love the
Yeah.
titles. But I definitely look forward. Like I said, I'm so glad you talked about the audio. Because I'm more and more getting into audiobooks. I love still, reading the Kindle, and it helps me get those Kindle challenges too if I do like half and half. And
Nice.
it's just like fun for me now because I can get back into it and then, I'll get into a really good scene or something. And then I'm like, okay, now I gotta just read. So I'm really excited about that. I wish it was cheaper, where everybody could do an audiobook. I just think it would be cool to see how, many different voice actors and things. And I think it's interesting to, like you were saying, like to have somebody that really gets into a character, to really elevate it. So I would love to see in the future, like people be able to do that. Not with AI, sorry, but, with actual voice actors and people. So that's why I always, like the podium and sound booth are, really expanding. So I think
He's
that's
doing.
cool. But,
I didn't realize he had made Sound Booth
oh, okay.
himself. I knew it existed and I knew he was involved, but I didn't know that was something he had actually created. But his voice is so amazing for those books for Sound Booth, that it's cool to see them pop up as I like the full cast. I like the idea of the full cast. I like the dual
Oh,
narration. Where you've got I love audiobooks. I'm an audio junkie. I don't do drugs, I don't drink, I don't do all of the all my money goes to Audible. For my if nothing else, this book will pay for my audio addiction.
That's fair.
I
I
get
talk about it
lucky.
all the time. I call it an investment. I was like, what are you doing? I was like, oh, I'm on Kindle. She's like, don't you have enough books? I was like, they're 99 cents, or people sending me for free. or sending me their deals or something for those 1 or 2 days or 12-hour deals. And I'm like, I might as well just get them while they're on sale or whatever. And I always tease her. I was like, when I sell enough books one day, this will have just been paying for my education.
Audiobook lover
So
math.
yeah. I told her, I was like, my mom's always like, at least he's not out drinking or playing 18 rounds of golf or something. She's like, he just loves listening to books or reading them. So my
Nice.
wife, so I was like, there could be a worse addiction, like
Yeah.
my brother ate fantasy football leagues. I see you, Jared. So it takes a lot of time. So I definitely understand that addiction. So at least it's healthy for the mind, right? And if you're writing, it's almost like you're paying for college or something, right? Like you're studying for it. So that's my reasoning, people. Don't
That's hilarious.
try and break it. So
It's funny you mentioned the fantasy football league because I was watching. My family was big into sports growing up, and I lived in Illinois as a child. I'm in Minnesota now, but my family was big into football, and so the '85 Bears were a big deal, and they had the Super Bowl shuffle. They were cool. I was starting to get into football, and during the halftime show, they launched back-to-back Thundercats and Silverhawks. It was when it was first played where I was at, and I was done. No football. This is this instead.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, Jason, thank you so much for coming on today. This has been a lot of fun. I'm going to go back and watch Thundercats on Freevee or whatever it is tonight, just to get some nostalgia. But we want to remind our audience, go and check out Head of the Class. Make sure we're, reviewing any, products for authors. We talked a lot about, voice actors and narrators today too. I talk a lot about Caleb, my artist. I know he's super slammed now, but at the time I was like, I will get you any business you want, buddy. But it definitely helps out everybody, right, to review those products, not just the author or the artist of a comic. It's all those people. We've really broken a lot, down a lot of these jobs and things and projects this year. So in the season, so hopefully you guys can see, right, that huge web of people that it helps. But thank you everybody for tuning in. Jason, thank you so much. If there's anything we can do in the future, like just let me know. I'll put all your links down in the description, and those people
Awesome.
that have been here before, they know where to go. If you're not and you're brand new, check out all of Jason's book and social links in the description below, anywhere where you're watching or listening to this podcast, and you can find Head of the Class and all the other fun things that he's got on the docket for you. But Jason, other than
Awesome.
that, I really appreciate you coming on, and I look
Yeah.
forward to chatting you on social media and kind of seeing where everything goes. Love to have you on in the
Awesome.
future, and we'll talk future products and things like that, and have some chats again, and I look
Awesome.
forward to that. So thank you so much for coming on. Hope you have a good rest of the day, my friend.
Awesome. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, you too. I'll see you later, Jason. Have a good rest of the
Have a great day. I forgot to do the spoiler thing. Sorry, everybody.
day. That's fine. We'll put it in there. I'll see you later.
Bye-bye.